Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
For those who bleed silver and black, tune in weekdays at 2 for Silver and Black Today with Scott Gulbranson here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of Silver and Black Today. Week 9 going in, the Raiders hosting the Denver Broncos here at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Hi, everybody. I'm Scott Branson, joined by my co-host, Q Myers. We're here talking Raider football. Coming up in just a minute will be Levi Edwards from Raiders.com. We talk to him every week at this time. Get some inside skinny and a report from him and the great writing he does over on Raiders.com. If you missed the news at the top of the show, Corey Littleton, Raiders linebacker, put on the reserve COVID-19 list today. It's all the information we have. Hopefully get some more later on when we talk to Vinny Bonsignor towards the end of the show. But that's where we're at. Q, this game going against the Broncos, again, I think it's so very important that they win it at home and keep that momentum going, because this is the time of the year where you really start to shift into that other gear if you want to be a playoff team.
No doubt about it. And we talk about streaks. Well, they've won 2 in a row. Now it's an opportunity to take a next step. You know, go win 3 in a row. Go win 3 in a row and have the conversation about next week's game against Kansas City. And I'm not saying look forward right now. I'm just saying you go and win this third game in a row, all of a sudden that game against Kansas City, there's going to be people, you want to talk about national attention, that game's going to get a ton of national attention because people are going to say, well, what if?
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And you get that national attention that I know a lot of Raider fans want, and you'll get it, believe me, if you start putting these wins together. Okay, we're going to go out on our newsmaker line in just a minute here with Levi Edwards, but you guys can also call in. We'll be talking to that. Also, coming up at 3:20, of course, we will have the Q-tip, as we do every day. Coming up at 3:20, then 3:40, 3:45, we'll be talking with Vinny Bonsignor. You can also be part of the show. 702-365-9200 is the number if you want to get on and talk about Raiders football. I want to hear what you guys have to say as well about the Raiders and the Broncos. I had somebody tweet at me. Remember we asked the question on who Raider fans hate the most? And he gave me the list. He gave me the list. It was Broncos first, Chiefs second, then like the Chargers, so the whole division. And then it was the referees. And then it was like Pittsburgh and a couple other teams. So it was pretty good.
Does Raider Nation really like anybody?
No.
And they you know what I mean?
No.
Like, I don't like anybody. There's certain people and players and coaches that I like throughout the league. Uh-huh. But I kind of look at everyone like, you know, don't really like any of those cats.
Yes. That's Raider. That's Raider Nation. You got to love it, man.
I don't have any problem with the Cowboys, for example.
Yeah.
Because they're so disappointing for Cowboy fans anyways. Doesn't even matter. I don't have to hate them.
Yeah. There's some teams that are hard to hate because they're so bad.
Right. No one hates people that stink. You know what I mean?
That's true. Usually if they don't like
true.
You, it's because you're good or you beat
right.
them.
Right. I mean, if someone hates on you, Scott, it's not because you're terrible what you do. It's because they like you.
That's what I say. I say haters are just confused supporters.
No, they know what they're doing.
Yeah. There you go.
They're not confused. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well,
confused
supporters. That's what they are, because they really like what you do, but they're not happy.
That's what I'm saying. But they know
because they can't do it. That's the way. All right, we're going to Levi Edwards now. Enough of the philosophy. We're going to Levi Edwards from Raiders.com, who joins us every Thursday. Levi, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about you, Scott?
Good, man. All right, let's dive in on this Broncos-Raiders game. We look at three things that we should watch for in this matchup from you. What are the Raiders, number one, what's the first key here for the Raiders to go out and have a successful day on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium?
Obviously, I'll just go with the first thing that they have to do, and it's something that they've been able to be successful at this whole season, in my opinion, and that's making sure that they continue to feed the running game. I know that they have the tendency to try to get more involved in the passing game if they feel that a game is too close or if the run game is kind of getting stopped up. But I feel that they have to continue the philosophy of making sure that they have all of their offensive linemen on the same page. We've been seeing great production from Gabe Jackson, Rodney, Denzel. He's stepped up, and this is just all obvious. But really, I'm just excited to see the run game really explode, not just because Josh Jacobs is amazing, not because Alec Ingold, with two broken ribs, is going to play. But we all know this is going to be the revenge game for Devontae Booker, and we all want to see Devontae Booker get the rock. I was a huge Devontae Booker guy when he was in Denver, and then he started losing carries to guys like Phillip Lindsay and other running backs that they had, and it was kind of confusing to me at the time. However, it doesn't really matter at this point because now he's a Raider and he's having a great productive season. So got to feed the run game. They also got to worry about Noah Fant. Noah Fant is a top-tier tight end. I believe he's fifth in the NFL amongst tight ends for yards after carry with 200. So he can really do some good things. Of course, he's a little banged up right now, but Kotowski, Littleton, those guys, they're going to have to make sure that they keep him in check because Locke is going to be looking for him a lot throughout the game. And another big matchup that I'm really looking forward to is the battle of the two Alabama receivers. I had a lot of experience, and I had a great time watching Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs just tear up everybody when they were in Crimson Tide. And so really, it's going to be cool to see them play against each other. Jerry Jeudy's already established himself as the number one receiver for his team. So Henry Ruggs is still, I guess you could say, the word developing. So I really want to see how they go at each other because I know they're going to come out and they're going to be like, oh, it's not really that big of a deal. We're just out here trying to have fun and do the best for the team. But I feel like it's a little bit of a competitiveness behind it, you know. When you have two guys from the same school, you have one that is drafted at 11, you have another guy that's drafted at 15, and they're division rivals, you kind of want to stack up against each other and be like, look, you know, which one of us is going to be the future of this league at this receiver spot? And those are battles that they definitely probably already had in school. So it's going to be cool to just see both offenses go down the field and see which receiver kind of has a bigger day.
As far as the defense goes and what the number one priority should be, of course, Drew Locke is a guy who's mobile. He can, you know, extend plays. He can move the pocket around. What would you think is the number one factor? What's the number one thing the Raiders need to do defensively in this game?
They really got to make sure that they tighten it up in the secondary. Of course, this is it's hilarious because every week, week in, week out, everybody's talking about we need to rush the passer. We're not getting enough sacks. We're not doing enough. Like, we need people to step up, and that's cool. You know, Raider Nation is always going to say that. That's fine. You can always rush the passer a little better. But you have three young guys who I've seen make really big plays in terms of Jeudy, in terms of KJ Hamler, and in terms of Noah Fant at that tight end position. Those three guys are a problem. And they're going to be a problem. Not to mention that Melvin Gordon is also a very versatile running back, and he can catch some passes out in the flat, do some things out in open space as well. So you have to make sure that secondary is tight as it can be. So you have Trayvon Mullen, who came back to practice today. That's a big plus. You have guys that like Damon Arnette, and we still don't know if he's going to play. But if he does, then that can only be beneficial to that secondary. You have Jonathan Abram, who's a dog. We don't have to talk about Jonathan Abram. You know he's going to come and show up and do what he always is going to do. But that secondary really has to make sure that they not only get key production from those guys, but from the linebacker core, like I already said. They got to make sure they have Nevin Lawson on the same page. We saw Isaiah Johnson have the game of his life, come up with two of the biggest plays of his life. So we need to see more snaps from Isaiah Johnson, quite honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got, of course, Coach Gruden earlier in the week, Levi, said that, oh, it's going to take Isaiah a little time to work his way in for more playing time. And then, of course, you heard Coach Gunther today say you're going to see a lot more Isaiah Johnson. So I'm sure the truth is somewhere in the middle on that one as they get set for Sunday. But when you look at, too, we heard from Tom Cable today, Levi, which, you know, Coach Cable, he's a hard-working lunch pail guy. He's not a guy who talks to the media a lot. But we played some of his clips earlier, and that offensive line line. I know we talked about it with you, I think, the last 2 weeks, but what he's been able to do there, we had Brandon Parker on the show earlier in the week. Those guys right now, as they get closer to getting back to full steam, to me, still, along with Derek Carr, still the story on that offensive side of the ball.
Most definitely. Tom Cable, he's honestly, in my opinion, kind of like the Nick Swanson. The Nick Swanson of offensive line coaches, just very hard-nosed, very, very just grinded-out kind of guy.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
It does, absolutely.
And so what he's been able to do with the offensive line this year has been astonishing. And he's really shout-out to my man Eddie Pascal, who's one of our podcast guys for Raiders.com, but something that I heard him say a couple weeks ago is that Tom Cable has probably earned his money the most out of any of these coaches so far this year. And I totally 100% agree. He has been able to take guys like Brandon Parker, who you were talking to earlier this week, and really be able to make him shine, and take guys like John Simpson, and has been able to develop him so immensely in this rookie season, just coming out of Clemson. Just people like that. Denzel, we've already talked a lot about Denzel, but he's really been able to rally that line, and they really do truly have that next man up mentality. And it's just kind of like, you hear it as such a cliche, because it's kind of like, okay, well, you have to tell yourself this to make sure that you're always staying ready and you're always staying on your toes. But it's at a point now where it's like they're about it. Like, they're about it when it comes to the offensive line. Ooh. Like, it really doesn't matter at this point who they're going to put on that line. I feel like they're all prepared as if they're starters. And so hopefully things will just continuously get better. They'll get Colton back. They'll get Richie back. Trent will come back sometime. But at this point in juncture in this season, 5-3, and you have Josh Jacobs, who's a top five rusher in the league this season, and you have Derek Carr, who has only been sacked, you know, he's been sacked about 14 times, but his QBR is 110, 16 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. You know, it's
pretty good.
It really just, it's astonishing how this offensive line has been able to play.
Yeah, no, they've done a really good job. And, you know, I know the stats don't show anything and won't prove any point, but Clelin Ferrell, in my opinion, has been playing pretty stinking good this year.
No, Clelin Ferrell, he's a boss. And once again, one of those guys coming out of Clemson, everybody was like, oh, why would you draft this guy too high? And, of course, me as a big, you know, big Southeast football guy, I saw a lot of him in college. And, of course, Devin White, a lot of Raider fans are still a little ticked off about Devin White going at 5, and he's been having the career he's been having. But Clelin, like you said, is a top defensive end in this league, and the stats don't show it, but he really truly is. Him and Max Crosby are a problem. And the things that he just does in terms of getting after the quarterback, the hurries, the pressures, you know, everybody just thinks about sacks and thinks about numbers and tackles, but, like, he just does so many things that if you watch on film, you know why the Raiders are winning games.
Yeah, no doubt. You could see it. No, it's great. And Levi, you look at this. We've been also talking a lot this week about home field advantage, and it's hard with no fans. You look at the top records of teams in the AFC with home records, winning home records. Most of them have had some fans in the stands. How are the Raiders going to go into this Allegiant Stadium now this week and really start to make it a place that opponents don't want to play in?
That's a great question. I've thought about that, and it's kind of like a running joke I have with myself, where it's like, okay, so we've had 3 home games, and so, of course, I can't travel with the team this season, so I watch all the home games. I watch all the away games from the stadium with my coworkers. Mm-hmm. And every single away game that's not in the stadium has just been the most intense, nail-biting, like, classic games. And I'm just like, okay, I get to watch these games in an empty stadium on a monitor. And then, you know, we have 2 losses at home and the beatdown of the Saints, essentially. And that was a great game. So, honestly, I think it has to do with the factor that their away games are still kind of home games, because a lot of those games where they've gone on the road have been against teams that are allowing, like, limited capacity in their stadium. And Raiders fans, you know how Raiders fans are. They are one of the most diehard fan bases in the league, and that's why I love them. So they travel with the team.
Mm-hmm.
They've traveled to Cleveland. They've traveled to Kansas City. So they really get out there and really show love for the team. So I guess time will tell in terms of making sure that they make it more into a home field advantage, because it is their home. And, of course, fans coming will be a lot easier to really assert that dominance on your field. As far as I'm concerned, they really just got to make sure that they bring the same intensity they bring on the road. They just got to bring that same intensity at home. And I guess, yeah. Scott, I guess me and you need to be screaming a little louder from the press box.
Oh, no screaming sure in the press box.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe
sure we have some love.
Get some will going there. All right, Levi Edwards, Raiders.com. Make sure you go over to the website and read them. Levi, thanks, man. We'll see you on Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Scott. Thanks, Q.
All yep. right, there you go, Levi Edwards. Good stuff. Okay, we're going to take
you guys be screaming in the press box?
No. You know what happened, though?
That's rule number one, brother.
That's rule number one. The first game, though, there were people up there because they had a little bit of an overfilled crowd. There uh-huh. was, I think, some people the team invited, and they were up there cheering. And, of course, all of us who know the first cardinal sin of the press box is cheering in the press box. We just kept turning around going, who the hell is that?
Right.
Who's making noise? No-no. Who's cheering? Yep. It is a definite no-no. But I get what Levi's saying there. He wants to will the team to do better at home, which I understand.
You can just think it.
Yes, just think it. The power of positive thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get to the caller. Gangster Raider, here's our man. He's on hold. He's coming up next after the break. And then we'll get to the Q-tip as well. You're listening to Silver and Black today on this Thursday from the capital of Raider Nation. That, of course, Las Vegas, Nevada, only on Raider Nation Radio.
We don't tackle in practice very often. Actually, we never now once the season starts. So we just got to keep, making sure they're in the right position in practice. Knees bent, those type of things, tracking a near hip. We grade those things every day in practice, every week in the game. We give them factor grades for tackles, second in, whatever it may be. So we just got to continue to keep harping on the fundamentals of things we're doing, and hopefully they'll keep improving.
The autumn wind is a raider, and when it blows, it comes from the Las Vegas desert. Back to Silver and Black today, here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
We're back here, Silver and Black today on a Thursday, as Megadeth brings us back in.
Megadeth is cool.
Yeah. God. Okay, sorry. I'm imitating.
Terrible.
Hey, so Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, put out his midseason list. MVP, who do you think he's got? Ready?
Russell Wilson.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that's cool.
Also votes for Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, Alvin Kamara, and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Russell Wilson.
Yes, I would agree with Russell Wilson on that. Player of the year offensively so far, Dalvin Cook.
Yep.
Can't argue with that one.
Nope.
No Derek Carr anywhere in there, by the way. Defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald.
Miles Garrett.
Aaron Donald.
Oh, he's in it every year.
Yes, T.J. Watt, close second. Offensive,
yeah, he's in it too.
Offensive rookie of the year, a tie between Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow. I would give the nod there to Joe Burrow. Not just because he's a Charger, Herbert, but I just think Burrow's
Herbert's close, though.
He's close.
He's right there.
I agree. And then Jaguars running back James Robinson, which I think is a good one, too.
What was that, like a fifth-round pick, sixth-round pick?
Yeah, yeah. He's done really
low.
He's a stud. Okay. Speaking of, we're going to go out on the phone lines now before we get to the Q-tip, which is coming up here in just a minute. Our friend Gangster Raider down in L.A. What's up, man?
Hey, what's happening? I hate the Broncos more than anybody in the division.
Why?
But really because, I'm 46. Uh-huh. So I'm saying I lived through the whole little John Elway era in Denver. And it's like they was always in the way. Like whenever we would be on the run, like we get ready to make the playoffs, we always had to play Denver. So like the last game of the season. And they would either always end up stopping us or in a way, just mucking up stuff for us, you know what I mean? And then they only had, like, one Super Bowl or whatever. Then they end up winning one with Elway. Then I think they got another one with Peyton. So now they tied with us, so I hate that. And then I hate, in the division, I hate Kansas City more. But I didn't really hate them till recently, you know, since they started winning Mahomes. And the only time I hated them before was when they had Christian Okoye. Remember Christian Okoye, Nigerian Nightmare? It seemed like Raiders, we couldn't tackle that. He'd just be going down the field, and we'd just be falling off when he'd go to the end zone. But that's the only time I really hated the Chiefs and the Dischargers. They were just there, you know what I'm saying? I don't really know. I'm in L.A. Like I said, I don't really know any Charger fans. I only know two Charger fans, and they females or whatever. I only had, like, one coworker at my job that was a Charger fan, so they was never really a factor. But I'm starting to hate them more because I noticed they coach said that they're trying to infringe on our colors, our logo, and everything. Like, they're trying to siphon off some of our fans down here. You know what I mean? And the team I hate the most, though, is the Gatriots, the Patriots. You know, so ever since the Tuck rule, I hate them more than Denver. You know what I'm saying? And I hate the Dallas Cowboy fans. The team is no factor. Like Hugh said, they disappoint the team. I mean, they fans enough. So I just hate the fans because I'm in California. And it's a whole lot of Cowboy fans down here. I understand, like, once y'all go to Texas, you know, so if y'all love the Cowboys so much, go to Texas. This is California, Raider Nation. We won Super Bowls in Northern and Southern Cali and about to win some more in Nevada. So if y'all like the Cowgirls so much, the Brokeback Mountain Cowgirls, go to Texas. You know what I'm saying? But that's just my little rant. I heard y'all talking about it. You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to say what's up, and I think we're going to win big, 45-17.
You got 45-17. Gangster. Gangster Raider. Thanks, man. I appreciate your call, buddy.
He hates a lot of teams.
He does. But at least he gave me an explanation for the Broncos.
Yeah.
Which,
no, he
which
broke
is
it down.
Good. Yeah, he did, yep. Which I like. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense.
Man, did I ever tell you the Christian Okoye story?
No.
Man, I interviewed, and this happens to everybody, and I'm sure you've probably been there, done that as well. I interviewed Okoye at the Super Bowl, and I was feeling some kind of way anyway because he was a Chief, and I know how great he was. But look, this is my job, so I'm going to hold it down. I did a great, I promise you, great, and I talked about the Raiders and everything. 10-minute interview with him. It was awesome. Come to find out, I didn't turn the recorder on.
Oh, I've done that. Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody who's in our business has done it once, and then you never do it again.
I did it with a Raiders situation. We were out at the groundbreaking for the headquarters for the Intermountain Training Center. And I get up and Jim Plunkett's there, and I'm like, okay, cool. So I get Jim Plunkett for an interview. I do like four questions, and there were so many people who wanted to talk to him that the fact that I got four questions in was significant, you know, especially radio. I could make almost a whole segment out of it. And I'm like, oh man, that's nail. It was great. He was funny. He was all this kind of stuff. And I go back and I look down and it says zero. So I didn't record it either. So there's my story. All right. Well, we're going to get back to your phone calls here in a minute, 702-365-9200. But first, it's that time of the day. We turn it over to Q. It is time for the Q-tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
Today I wanted to talk about something that I don't think that we think about very often as fans, as media guys, as people that just, you know, cover the team and talk about the team. We don't talk about it. We talk about the play on the field all the time. We talk about who's performing well, who's not performing well. But how about mental toughness? This Raiders team, in my opinion, has a lot of mental toughness. You think about everything that's gone on this season. Obviously, you know, COVID-19 is affecting every single team, but every single team is not handling it the same way. And people could argue and say whatever they want to say about the Raiders and their COVID-19 issues and the way that they've, you know, gone about their business, if they're, you know, handling it correctly or not. But I'll tell you, no matter what, and this kind of goes back because Corey Littleton now is on the COVID-19 list, no matter what, they've handled the situation. You know, I mean, go back to Trent Brown. Go back to the offensive line being out all week of practice, and they still went out in the game. And I get it. They lost the game against, Tampa Bay. But they were in that game. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean? That was a game that they definitely could have won. There's been so many circumstances. Players go down. Guys get injured. Unideal situations, you know. And they found ways to overcome them and not allow them to be excuses. And when you do that, it goes back to your mental. It goes back to upstairs and the fact that you're not panicking. You're not hitting the panic button. You're not sweating it too much. You're just going out there and handling your business. Brandon Parker, he could have hit the mental panic button when he had to go from right tackle to left tackle. He didn't. You know, either way, when he was pushing into action, he's just stepped up and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to handle it. And he did. And, you know, Denzel Good, he's flip-flop multiple positions. Fine. Devontae Booker, he doesn't get a bunch of carries, but when he does, he's doing things. It's because his mental is right. I mean, they are a very strong mental team. No matter how bad it gets in a game, how many yards they give up defensively, all of a sudden push comes to shove last week, and Isaiah Johnson, who's, you know, pushed into action because Trayvon Mullen went down, makes two huge plays back-to-back. It's not pretty all the time. It's not the way every fan wants to see it happen, but just know that mentally, these guys are locked in, and they know what the goal is, and they're doing everything they can to get there, and more times than not, they're succeeding.
Yes, and in the immortal words of Marshawn Lynch, take care of y'all mentals.
No doubt.
Right? I mean, that's what he's talking about. Of course, he talked about the chicken, which is the money stuff, but right. That's what he's talking about. You got to have that mindset, and you're right. The Raiders have been really the poster boys of doing that this year with all that they've been faced with, including the stuff with the fines and the
right,
and
exactly.
All that. It's just been so it could have been so easy for that team, especially with all those young guys they got on that roster, yep, to get off track, and they have not.
And crumble. And use that as an excuse. Well, this happened. Exactly. And look, they're in a new stadium. They're in a new city. They had no training camp. And again, I get it. No training camp really for nobody. You know, every team is on the same playing field. But look across the league. Look at the teams that have crumbled. Look at the team that is close to me, the Cowboys. Look how of a joke they are.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
You know what I mean? And they got a coach that's been there, done that, won a Super Bowl. They got a ton of talent. They got a guy that used to be a Raider in Amari Cooper who just got talked up so bad about by Brandon Graham of the Eagles. He said, look, the MO is out on Coop. You know, when he has his body language looks bad, that means he's mentally checked out of the game. You don't hear any Raiders being talked about like that. Oh, they're mentally checked out.
None.
It just doesn't happen.
Not, including some of the guys that we are somewhat critical of who are not performing at a high level, like Malik right. Collins. I yep. watched Malik Collins.
Or Corey Littleton.
I watched them on film, and you know what? They're giving their best. They're giving their all. Yep. And so you can't ever fault them and say the Raiders don't have heart. Okay, we're going back on the phone lines. Our good buddy, El Paso Raider. El Paso Raider, you're on Silver and Black today here on this Thursday.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, Q, you were spot on that, man.
Thank you.
Hey, I got to say something, man. You know, I hate the Chargers. I hate the Chiefs. But I despise the Broncos, man. I cannot stand them.
Why, though? Why?
Before I got married, I used to make it to at least 2 to 3 games, two at home and one somewhere where they were playing. You know, I've gone to Kansas City, I've gone to San Diego, and I've gone to Donkey Land. And man, boy, those fans are the worst. I cannot stand their fans. That's the problem. I just cannot stand them. You know, and I got family that are Donkey fans. And I just can't stand them. They talk so much smack. They just to give you a little short story about me. It was me and my two good friends, you know, my friend Aaron Perry and my Chris Winfrow. Both of them are Donkey fans. I'm a Raider fan. We went to a Denver Bronco game, 2010. We smacked them, 59-14, I believe. Darren McFadden was running all over.
Yeah.
We had Cable as our coach at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there. We ended up in an all-out brawl with the Donkey fans. My friends had to back me up because they were literally calling them names, calling me names, and it was just bad. I had really bad experiences there. I went to the game where they booed Tyrell Pryor, I believe, the quarterback we had at that time. They booed him when he got knocked out in a concussion. They're just, you cannot stand them. You cannot stand those fans. That's why I hate them so much.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
I'm excited, man. I'm fired up. Let's beat these Donkeys 45-0. I don't care. You know.
El Paso Raider, thanks, man. Always a good call.
That McFadden game he was talking about, I think Darren ran for 200-plus yards in that game, and he was a monster in the first half. I mean, it was like they couldn't do anything to stop him. You know, that was probably one of his best games ever as a Raider. Probably his best game, to be honest.
Yeah. That is it's crazy, though, when you think about games. I don't know where you've gone to games and had bad experiences, like the worst fans, like El Paso Raider talked about there. For me, it was Kansas City in the upper deck.
I've never been there.
Yeah, Kansas City in the upper deck. And they, you know, for people who are not, even people in Kansas City call Arrowhead Camaro Head, because there's like a lot of what do you call them? I forgot even what you call them. Like, not quite hillbillies, but just folks who are a little messed up, maybe missing a little brain matter.
I live in Waco, man. That ain't going to faze me.
I forgot about that. But anyway, so they would call a Camaro Head. You go up there, and it was crazy. I that is the worst place. There in Philly, I think, are the two places that, for me, it's sort
Philly
of
was
like,
fun.
Philly was fun.
I enjoyed Philly.
Man, you got some really, really interesting characters in Philadelphia. Okay, we're going out to H in Albuquerque before we hit our break. H, what's going H-town. On?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Yeah,
I just started listening in, and it seems like the caller theme is teams that you hate. And I already stated yesterday how much I hated the Broncos and the 49ers. But, growing up in the Bay Area, all of my family are 49er fans. I'm the only Raider fan. And they used to give me such a hard time, especially during that 49ers dynasty. It was rough. So I just, I cannot stand the 49ers. And of course, the other rivalry, the other one was when Schottenheimer was the coach of the Chiefs. For some reason, that dude, I always wondered, why does he hate the Raiders so much? It used to drive me nuts. And he'd have that whole Raider week thing, and they always used to kick our butt, man. I think you guys said it recently, how Schottenheimer says, just keep it close, and the Raiders will make a mistake and give you the game. And killed me.
And Schottenheimer hated – thanks for the call, man. Schottenheimer hated Al, too. So it was not just the team. It was – there was an issue, and I don't – no
had
one ever
throw
knows.
A ball at someone's head.
Yes. Or
Al's head.
No, that was Shanahan.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
That was Shanahan. But
I don't like him either.
I don't like him either. Shanahan's
guy I cannot stand.
Yeah, he's dirty.
He just looks like a snake. He looks like a guy who would sell you the worst car ever at the used car lot and swear to you it was a Lambo.
With a toothpick in his mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but his offensive lines always cut block and hurt people.
Yeah, they do.
That's why I had the biggest problem with him. Okay, Ruben in Vegas. You're our last Ruben. Call here before the break. Ruben, what's going on, buddy?
None.
Nothing. Chilling.
All right, he's gone.
Is he gone?
Yeah, he's gone. He didn't pay.
The next door neighbor was Michael Rios, and he had big teeth like John Elway, horse teeth. So that's why I hated the Donkeys. And then my family in Cali, Central Cali.
Oh, he's cutting out.
You're breaking up.
Family.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Damn.
You there?
Oh, yeah.
There you are. Okay, go back. Central Valley.
Central Valley. My neighbor growing up, Mike.
All right. Ruben, man, we'll try to get you on again, buddy. Your phone. We got to get you a better phone.
Well, he was from Central Valley in Cali, right?
Yeah.
That's that 559 represent.
There you go. Your old market, right?
Hey, man. Look,
you did music in that
the
market?
559. I ran the 559, brother.
There you go.
I'm still a legend in the 559.
That's what I heard. Nobody's looking for you, though, right?
No. Okay, I only say I'm a legend because my son still lives there, so the name lives on.
Oh, there you go. All right.
He's a junior.
There you go. All right. It's time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to close up the show. We'll talk to Vinny Bonsignore, get the latest on Corey Littleton, who's made his way to the reserve COVID-19 list. We'll get the latest from Vinny. You're here with Q Myers. You're here with Scott Gilbranson on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Safety first since 1927.
Welcome back to Silver and Black today. Here's Scott Gilbranson and Q Myers.
That's some serious double bass going there, man. That guy plays that song. It's like the equivalent of 8 miles running.
Gotcha.
Back here on Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio. On this Thursday, we're talking Raider football. And before we go out to a remote location, which we will disclose to you in just a moment, and talk with Vinny Bonsignore, we're going to take one final call, and that's because it's our good buddy Fabian, the last caller of the day. Fabian, you're on with Scott and Q. What's going on, man?
Donating a bicycle to use bike place. But, hey, I was hearing all this love fest for Broncos, and I figured I'd let you know. I hate them too.
Why does it sound like you got a clown honking a horn behind you?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, that's the rear brake on the bicycle.
Oh, it's the on the bike.
Yeah.
What is it with the Broncos that makes you hate them the most?
Rob Lytle.
Oh, Rob Lytle, the fumble. Yes.
Yes.
The fumble that was ruled not a fumble?
Well, you know, there was no replay back then. That's yep. probably before you guys were born.
No.
They said there was no fumble, even though I think it was JT actually had an interview with the Raider player that actually picked up the ball, ran it back, and was in the end zone.
Yes, he did. It was a few weeks ago, actually, about 3 weeks ago. Yes.
So that was...
Oh, my God. You're killing me, Fabian. You're killing me, dude.
I can't take you seriously, Doug.
Fabian, I love you, man.
My wife has the bike now.
Okay. I swear I was waiting for Bozo the Clown.
Exactly.
Dude, I've been looking up clown music for 5 minutes for this kid.
Bobby's been looking.
You probably thought it was my office chair.
No, your office chair, we know the rocking. That calms us down. This was making me laugh so hard I had to turn the microphone off multiple times. But Fabian, man, thanks for the call. We got to run, and thanks for donating the bike, man. It's that time of the year. People are doing good stuff out there, which is always nice. Okay, now we go down I-15. We get off at we'll take Star Avenue, then we'll turn left onto St. Rose Parkway, and that's where you'll come across the Lodge on St. Rose Parkway, where Vinny Bonsignor and Lincoln nice. Kennedy are doing In the Huddle tonight. Vinny, what's going on out there today, buddy? You ready? You got some brewskis in the hand?
Not just yet, but soon. So we're holding down the fort here at the Lodge, and you know, Raider fans obviously know to come out here and join us. And it's a big football game tonight for Raider purposes, really.
Yeah,
they needed Tennessee Titans to beat the Indianapolis Colts to help the Raiders enhance the Raiders' spot in the wild card pecking order. The Colts obviously are 5-3, just like the Raiders. They play the Colts later this year, so it's not too early, 8 games into the season, you know, start looking at that and that wild card division and start, if you're a Raiders fan, hoping some of these teams lose along the way before the Raiders get to them.
Yeah, and you're right about that, Vinny, but the beautiful thing, at least in my opinion, what the Raiders have been able to do so far through 8 games is they've set themselves up to control their own destiny. I mean, they do want other teams to help them out along the way, but they don't need it, at least not right now. That's what I think has been pretty impressive.
It is, and somebody up there likes the Raiders this year for whatever reason, because when you think about it, they play the Colts and the Dolphins at home. Due to where they finished in the AFC West last year and where the Cleveland Browns finished in the AFC North last year, they played them already. They by luck of the draw, they were able to play a team that's in that wild card division right now and beat them. So they already have the tiebreaker over the Cleveland Browns. And adding more beneficial news for the Raiders and their playoff hopes, they get both of those, you know, the Dolphins and the Colts at home. And over the next 8 games, only 2 are being played outside. 6 games, 6 of the last of the Raiders' last 8 games are being played indoors. So remember last year down the stretch they played a slew of games outside. Kansas City, the New York Jets, I'm missing somebody else, the Denver Broncos. So they played a bunch of games on the road last year that were, you know, in cold weather. That's not going to happen this year except for playing the Jets and Denver to end the season, but everything else is indoors. So a lot of things are working in the Raiders' favor right now. They just need to take care of business.
Yeah, and of course, if the season ended today, they'd be playing their first playoff game in Buffalo.
Love it.
Right?
Love it.
So you talk about cold. That's cold, man.
Good. Bring it on. Right? That's some good get back. They need that game.
That's right. You get to fight somebody you already had a chance to really beat and weren't able to do it. Talking to Vinny Bonsignor, of course, coming up next with In the Huddle here on Raider Nation Radio along with Lincoln Kennedy. And Vinny, of course, the big news today, Corey Littleton is on the reserve COVID-19 list. Have we learned anything else as far as if he is tested positive or if he was exposed or any of that?
I have not heard that definitively. You know, I have texts out right now, have not, you know, gotten word on whether that is the case. It makes a big difference if it's one or the other, but it doesn't look like, as we sit here today, that Carey's going to play on Sunday. So you almost have to work from that premise and work backwards and hope for the best if that isn't the case. But, you know, this is one of those things where the NFL, it's just the way of life in the NFL. Midweek, Friday, the day before the game, you may find out that you're going to miss a key player. Mm-hmm. And it was told to me a long time ago when we started this whole process. And it was leading up to the opening of training camp, the key for everybody is going to be flexibility and adaptability. You're just going to have to be flexible and ready and willing to adapt on a moment's notice. And that could be extending the playoffs or extending the season by a week or switching your game from a Sunday to a Tuesday. Everyone's dealing with the same exact thing. The key is being adaptable and being open to adapting. And if you are, you know, you're putting yourself in a much better position than anyone that's going to try to resist it because you have no control over this.
Vinny, let me ask you this, and I'm sure that Nicholas Morrow is going to get a lot of the burn on Sunday since Corey Littleton is going to be out. But the Raiders before the season traded for Raekwon McMillan and have seen very, very little of him. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, for whatever reason, he's not been able to get on the field. And I, you know, had somebody tell me a long time ago, Baseball Manager, I don't make the decisions on who plays. Players make the decisions on who plays. So if Raekwon McMillan wants to get on the field more consistently, Raekwon McMillan needs to show the Raider coaches that he's ready to assume more responsibility. So, you know, I'm not trying to minimize it or make light of it, but that's usually the reality of the situation. Players determine playing time in 100% of the cases.
Vinny Bonsignore is our guest here. And Vinny, when you look at this Denver team coming in here, I like a lot of the matchups for the Raiders. But what one thing might the Broncos do that could give the Raiders some trouble come Sunday?
Well, they could rush the passer. And, you know, we still don't know exactly where the Raiders are going to be at tackle right now. One thing that's really helped is Brandon Parker kind of finding himself over these last 2 weeks. It couldn't have come at a better time, undoubtedly, where he's kind of settled down and become more confident, you know, and talk to people that know the situation. Everything, 99% of what Brandon Parker struggled with was confidence and just belief in himself. And so it seems like he's turned the corner in that regard, and he's figured out, hey, I could do this. You know, I don't need to worry so much. I don't need to make little things bigger than what they are. I'm going to get beat. That's going to happen. You live to see the next play. You don't let one mistake become 2 and 3 and 4 mistakes, or one bad play turn into a slew of bad plays. When you can just have that short-term memory, because you are going to get beat in this world, no doubt about it. Whether you're playing cornerback or tackle or whatever the case might be, linebacker, you're going to get beat. Just move on to the next play and make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think Brandon Parker is starting to get to that point.
And Vinny, we heard, it was real great on the Zoom today to hear from Coach Cable, because he doesn't talk to the media a ton. And to really, I mean, we played a bunch of the sound tonight because we thought it was stellar. When you talk to other people around the league, too, about the job he's done this year, what kind of feedback are you getting?
Positive, no question about it. But there's this thing about offensive line coaches. You know, not that anyone else makes excuses or anything like that, but, you know, I tell my co-host Lincoln Kennedy, I don't want to blow his head up too much, but covering football, to be honest with you, my go-to position is always offensive lineman. If I want to know what the heck's really going on, if I want an explanation and a no BS explanation about what's going on or what happened, I always go, that's the first position group that I tap into. They just have a practical way of looking at things. So while around the league and from other offensive line coaches, there's a lot of praise for what Tom Cable is doing. In their world, it's like, okay, no big deal. You know, you got to figure it out. You figure it out. That's what offensive line coaches do. That's what offensive linemen do. I think what has really stood out in terms of what he's done is be able to take this group and make it, because there's no position in football that plays as a group like offensive linemen. Everyone else is kind of doing their own thing. Of course, obviously, it has to fit into the whole scheme of things. But in the offensive line, it's a group of five men that are one unit and have to play as one unit as five men, if that makes any sense.
It does.
And they have to be thinking alike. And I remember an offensive lineman told me a long time ago, look, if you're going to – their motto was, if we're going to make a mistake, let's all make the same mistake so that at least we're on the same page. Like, if you – you know, and we have a fighting chance to recover from it. So for offensive line coaches who are seeing what Tom Cable is doing, yes, there's praise, and yes, there's an acknowledgement and an appreciation for what he's doing. But in their world, they're like, hey, this is how it has to be sometimes. Let's figure it out. That's the most important thing, and that's what Tom Cable is doing.
All right, Vinny, what do you guys have up on the show today?
Well, we have Trent Green is stopping by in the huddle to talk about Sunday's game. We also have Benjamin Albright, who I think you guys spoke to earlier today. Can never get too much Albright on the air. So we're going to tap into to his insight on the Denver Broncos. There's nobody knows the Broncos more than he does. You know, also obviously going to talk about the Corey Littleton situation. We're going to get into Tom Cable and you know, what he had to say today and how it relates to the offensive line. And specifically, really, I think this is a good story if it keeps going in this direction, is Brandon Parker and what he's been able to do to kind of hold down the fort. Because honestly, guys, good luck trying to figure out when Trent Brown is going to be back. I almost have to think, you know, brace for, you know, the worst case scenario in terms of his availability and just work around that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've been saying for the last week and a half, Vinny, since all that happened, is, hey, you know what? You just got to count on him not being there, so you just keep moving forward. You wish him the best and hope he gets healthy. But other than that, it's time to go on. All right, Vinny, coming up next with Lincoln Kennedy on In the Huddle. Vinny, have a great show, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Have a great show.
You too, brother. Right. See you, Scott.
Take care, buddy. Okay, that's it for a Thursday. Tomorrow we'll be back. Mo Moten will be with us and much, much more. Q, have a good night, man.
All right, my man. Appreciate you.
All right, there you go. Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson here on the Thursday edition of Silver and Black Today. Bobby Machado putting it all together, keeping us going, answering your phone calls, and doing everything to keep us on the air. Until tomorrow, take care, Raider Nation. We'll talk to you on a Friday.